Good morning, everyone. Can we all turn into Matthew chapter 4, verse 7, and also Luke chapter 4, verse 42 to 43? Matthew chapter 4, verse 7. Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Luke chapter 4, verse 42 to 43. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because this is why I was sent." This is the word of God.
Hello, everyone. In a few days' time is Chinese New Year. You probably noticed that. And perhaps Alan may not know. Friday is our Chinese New Year. Chinese are very blessed that we do have two New Years, and they're very close together. So if some of us have already failed our New Year resolution, there is another chance. Or you actually haven't set any goals for the year, and here's the time. When you set new goals for the new year, some of us may set goals for our studies, our work, our career, our family, or our decision whether we're going to have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, or some other lifetime goal. But whatever you plan, don't forget to set some goals for your spiritual life, because they do matter eternally. As Christians, we're very blessed because our God loves us so much. Jesus died on the cross so that we are set free and we are redeemed from our sins. Because of His love, we can always repent and go back to Jesus and have a new start again. Don't underestimate a new start. Sometimes new things may seem very small or trivial or could not, you know, but could have lasting influence. Have you heard of a magazine called New Yorker? Yes? No? Yeah, it's a very old magazine. It's a lifestyle magazine. It has been for almost 90 years. When they first started the magazine, there is hardly anything. Like Harold Ross started the magazine in 1925 in a small office with little equipment. One day in a restaurant downstairs, he met Dorothy Parker. And she's one of the early writers of the magazine. And he asked her, "Why are you doing here? Shouldn't you be working upstairs?" And she said, "Oh, someone was using the pencil, so I came down for some coffee." No one laughed. A pencil, you know, sometimes when we think about pencil, you know, we find it on the floor, you know, even if there is a pencil on the street, we wouldn't pick it up. But that's the start of the New Yorker magazine. There is hardly anything. And yet, they can last for such a long time. Similarly, the kingdom of God is one of the examples having a very small start. Jesus described the kingdom of God as a mustard seed which grow into a big tree. Can I get someone to turn on the TV for me, please? The Lord is pointing to the kingdom which grow into a big tree. It starts from a very small beginning, and yet it grows bigger and bigger. And no human knows where it will end. Therefore, in the new year, let's make a refreshed decision to be a follower of Christ and be a truthful citizen of the kingdom of God. No matter how small you make your promise or set your goal, but God will treasure your goals when you set it for His kingdom. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that we can come to worship you for your word. We ask that the Holy Spirit be with us, help us to understand your word, and help us to practice your word in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we'll be looking at the kingdom of God and what we should be doing as citizens of the kingdom. We mainly look at three main aspects: the meaning of the kingdom of God, repentance, and the kingdom of God, and also as citizens of the kingdom of God, how we should be doing our role as a citizen of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is a very important message of the New Testament. Jesus commands his public ministry by proclaiming the coming of the kingdom of God, and is the major theme of his preaching. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, from then on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, because the kingdom of heaven has come near." In Luke chapter 4, verses 42 to 43, Jesus was working hard to proclaim the message of the kingdom of God, and was sent for the reason. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns, and also because this is why I was sent." The kingdom of God was the main reason why Jesus was sent to the earth and to tell us about the kingdom of God. Similarly, Jesus' ministry on earth also ended with the message of the kingdom of God. In Acts chapter 1, verse 3, after he had suffered, that is Jesus, he also presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speak about the kingdom of God. You probably noticed that so far there are two terms describing the kingdom: the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. They practically have the same meaning, and that refers to God's kingdom and God's kingly rule, and they can be used interchangeably. More, in addition, the message of the kingdom of God was also proclaimed by the apostles. Paul continued this emphasis. Sorry. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. That is in Acts chapter 19 and verse 8. James also preached about the kingdom of God. One thing that he said was, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? It is worthy to know that those who can enter into the kingdom of God are chosen by God. It is the grace of God, and it is not by one's merit. John also talked about the kingdom of God in the gospel, and also made a comment in Revelation that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the world, has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. The message of the kingdom of God is important because it is about God's salvation and how one can enter into the kingdom of God and become the heirs of the kingdom. It is the kingdom of our Lord and Jesus Christ, and it is an eternal one. What it means is basically by entering into the kingdom of God, we do have eternal life. Let's read again Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Let's read it together. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And also, verse 23, Jesus ran through Galilee, teaching in their synagogue, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is about God's people in God's place, under His rule. Kingdom of God was an expression that first used by Jesus, although the idea has been in the Old Testament for a long time. The coming of the kingdom of God was the most frequent topic in the teaching of Jesus. For example, in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, it also expressed the truth that God is a great God who does what He wills in human. Specifically, He wills to save people through the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. So I do have a question for you. So what is the kingdom of God? What does the kingdom of God include? Did you raise your hand, Kobe? Okay. And a very, very obvious solution to it is a kingdom involves a king and also the citizens, those who are in the kingdom and belong there. Then the next question would be, what does that mean if there is a king and the citizens? It basically tells us about the implied relationship between the king and the citizen. That the citizens must recognize the king's sovereignty. What should be the attitude toward that sovereignty? Basically, it is what the king tells you to do, you just do it. It is through submission and obedience. We should note that earlier we read about the Bible that entering into the kingdom of God is not by one's merit. It is by the grace of God, that God has chosen us in order for us to be able to get into the kingdom of God. Another thing I want to look at from chapter 4, verses 17 is, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Has come near is a present perfect tense. What this means is it's already here, but it also will continue into the future. In one sense, the kingdom of God is the present one. Our King, our Lord Jesus Christ, was born as a human being, announced the kingdom has come near, and people can enter into it now. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 31, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you." It is a kingdom that is already in place, and people can enter into it now. In another sense, the kingdom of God is also a future kingdom, where through rulers and actual presence of the king, Jesus will occur when he returns to heaven. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 28, "Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of God coming in the kingdom." The ruler of the kingdom of God will be manifest and ended with the return of Jesus. In 2 Peter verse 3, chapter 3, verses 13, tell us that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and the righteous dwells. Who are the righteous? How can the righteous enter into the kingdom of God? Because there is a judgment. There is a judgment by God to decide who are the righteous, who can reside in the kingdom. These are the people who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who repented and have a relationship with God. They are deemed to be righteous because of this redemption of Jesus Christ. Another thing that we should be looking at is repentance. Jesus called people to repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. What does that mean by repentance? Does that mean some people feel sorry about their sin and ask God for forgiveness? Is that all about repentance? Yet they continue to sin, and then they ask for forgiveness again. The cycle goes on and on and on and on. Is that all? Probably not. The word repent in the Old Testament also means return. In the context, when we said return, we also talk about the kingdom of God. And who are we returning to? To the King. The King is Jesus Christ. Return also has another sense that you turn from sin. You turn away from sin and turning towards God. It is a decision that you take to follow Jesus. When we talked about when there is a kingdom of God, right? There is a king. Our relationship with him is he is our king. We need to recognize his sovereignty. And when we accepted him as our king, that means we followed him, we obeyed him, we put in Jesus in our lives first. There is another question though. What do you do when you enter, once you repented, you're getting into the kingdom of God, what do you do? Do you just wait for the return of the kingdom? When Jesus comes back, you know, the kingdom of God will be manifest. Does that mean, is that all? What is the message for us to tell people about the kingdom of God? Apart from beginning, we repented, we waited for the kingdom of God to return. A few of us have just finished HSD, and they have been offered a place in the university. Even though you officially, because I would imagine that you probably registered it by now, that you're officially a uni student. But does that mean you don't have to do anything? Then in a few years' time, you get your degree, you graduated with whatever, like occupational health therapy or law or something like that? No. You do work hard for it. You study, you do the same thing. And in the same way, when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have the qualification as a citizen of the kingdom of God. What do? We grow. And another thing that I want to look at is repentance does involve action. It's probably very small, but it's a well-known story about Zacchaeus, that he was a tax collector. When Jesus called him and said, "I'm coming to your home," and accepted him, he repented. and he gave up his wealth. He gave up half of his wealth to the poor and repaid a quarter, four times the amount that he cheated from those who cheated. Can you imagine someone like that? You know, his lifetime goal is to be wealthy and get rich and take advantage of others because he wants to get rich. Yet, when Jesus called him and he just followed, he repented. What did he do? He just gave up his wealth. I would imagine he probably gave up most of his wealth, if not all of it, in order to follow Jesus. Following Jesus involves something that Zacchaeus gave us. That is a turning from the world, you know, in order to be turning to God. Sometimes when we come to church week by week and week by week, we sit down here to listen to the sermons, we go to Sunday school, we learn about the Bible. What does that actually do to you? Do you really think it is only an intellectual exercise, or you just want to obtain the knowledge of it? I'm afraid if you consider God's word like that, you miss the point. The real purpose of reading the Bible is to understand how we could be a true follower of Christ through practicing God's word in our lives. I have to say, you know, I've been a Christian for over 30 years. Sometimes God's words are very difficult. You know, if you tell people you don't lie or something like that, sometimes you do lie. How could we be over this? One thing that I always think about is, and I experienced that is, because once I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, Holy Spirit dwells in me and helps me to turn to God and to be closer to God. All I needed to respond to God's calling is to obey. Practicing what we read from the Bible can help us to be more like Christ. Reading the Bible is not about defending what we want to do. Quite often that we read the Bible and we use the Bible to confer what we are doing, to justify what we are doing is right. That's not right. Rather, the Bible, the way that we read the Bible should be telling us, defining us what we are to do. It is not for us to defend what we want to do, but the Bible defines what we are to do. As a citizen of the kingdom of God, we represent God on this earth. To turn to God requires decisions to follow God's word such that our lives are changed. As a citizen of the kingdom of God, you know, already qualified to enter into the kingdom of God, deep in our heart, we do have a deep love for God and admiring God and want to be closer to God. Keen to read His word and communicate with God through prayers, we also want to be truthful citizens of the kingdom and have the right attitude towards life, worthy to be called the children of God. Following chapter 4 in Matthew, the proclamation by Jesus of the coming of the kingdom of God, in chapter 5 of Matthew, it is about the Sermon on the Mount. The truth of the kingdom of God requires practice, and the Sermon of the Mount is to tell us the principle how we should separate ourselves from the world. As citizens of the kingdom of God, we are separated by God from the world. And therefore, we dare to be different. We don't have to follow what others are doing according to the worldly principle. because we have God's word that we can be different, because with the help of Holy Spirit we can. Jesus said in Matthew 5:20, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." How could our righteousness surpass those who really know the word of God? The Pharisees, they know far more than us about the about God's word and also about the law. How could we do this? Because we could do this because Jesus, the Holy Spirit dwells inside us, change our mind, so that every day we turn to God and we'll walk closer with God. That involves a change of heart in following and obeying God. I would imagine the initial turn of from a non-believer to a Christian, to a citizen of the kingdom of God, is quite difficult, because you have to turn away all those old habits, old lifestyles that do not please God. It requires quite a lot of determination and obedience. But after a while, once you actually turn closer to God, you will find the satisfaction in God. That is not because we have to obey the law. We become closer to God because of a changed heart inside us. We turn to God and respect Him as the King of our lives. I still remember when I first started to swim lap. I started that about years ago when I was in high school. Initially, I found it really hard, because I just couldn't breathe and I'm exhausted, so I have to stop regularly, quite frequently. So I don't think the first time I can swim a 50 meter lap at all. But gradually, with regular practice, I could swim more laps without stopping. And I started to enjoy the experience of swimming laps, because it gives me a break from the stress, from the studies, or from the work, or something like that. In a similar way, when you practice turning away from the world, turning away from sin, and turning to God, you will be better in resisting sin. Gradually, you will find more satisfaction in God. As the citizens of the kingdom, we need to make decisions and to take actions to enable us to understand and enjoy the blessings from God. And that is only through keep on returning to God and let God be your top priority of your life, of your family, of your work, of your studies. And another thing that before Jesus left, we are charged to with a great commission in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." There are two main parts of it. Firstly, Jesus commissioned us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, teach them to obey everything Jesus has taught them. How are we able to do these things? It is because Jesus is with us and all authority has been given to us. We are blessed that we have such promises from God. However, unless we live out as a citizen of the kingdom by obeying the teaching of Jesus, if we don't take action, if we don't obey, the Great Commission will become a great omission. What is the difference between a commission and an omission? There is no C. If there is no Christ in you, there's an omission. If there is a C in you, it can be a great commission. What does that involve? I know I repeated myself many times. The only things you can do is to obey. Just like the Great Commission teach us to obey what the teaching of Jesus, then we can. How can we tell the gospel to others if we don't even do the basic things to obey the teaching of God? Sometimes, you know, in church, because of the peer pressure, we are Christians. But once we step outside the church, we could be a completely different person. Being a Christian is not something that we have to do like we sit down, we be quiet, or anything like that. It is a relationship with God that Jesus called us to repent because the kingdom has come. And we have to return to Him. We have to recognize He is the King of the kingdom, and we are to obey and submit to Him. How do we want to be a growing citizen of the kingdom of God? It's very basic. You've heard it a thousand times. Basically, you need to read your Bible. You need to practice reading your Bible regularly. You need to have a prayer life. You have a prayer life so that you can communicate with God. And another thing, because we're in church, we're brothers and sisters, there is another thing that we should be doing is to encourage others also in the habit of having a relationship with God through prayer, through reading His Word, and through obeying His Word. If you're a believer, you have strayed from the Lord, the cross is still the place for a new beginning. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and gracious and righteous to forgive us, forgive our sins and to cleanse us from the unrighteousness. That is in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. We Christians are so blessed that Jesus took the initiative to come to this world to tell us about the kingdom of God, so that we can enter into the kingdom of God through the grace of His blood, through His redemption. What we need to do is to recognize Jesus as our King. As we are the citizen of the kingdom of God, we just have to obey and practice what He has teach us. In the new year, I will encourage that for those who are not in the habit of making decisions, I will encourage you to make new goals to follow Jesus and practice His word. And be truthful to act out in your life as a citizen of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask for your forgiveness that there are times in our lives that we don't act like citizens of your kingdom. We get so focused with our lives and what are happening to us, our studies, our jobs, and our families. These are the things become more important to us, and because of that, we place these things on a high priority than you and your kingdom. Life is full of distractions that pull me away from you, and we let them do that. But now, Lord, we want to learn what it means to be a kingdom citizen. We want to learn your priorities, and we want to know the purpose that you have for our lives. We want to learn about the kingdom of God that you have brought us into, so that we can be true committed followers of Jesus Christ. Show us that it takes to become citizens of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.